You're listening to the Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
And today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So how has the last, month been for you?
It's been about a month. It feels like forever. I don't know. It just seems like everything blurred for a while.
Yeah, that's about right. So I have officially moved. I have spent about 2 weeks after that pretty much renovating a room and then figuring out how to fit all my stuff into that room and then trying to somehow get caught up on anime in the middle of like everything else. So
you're doing better than me. I have not caught up. I'm working on it.
I seen that you got caught up on one of them, so you're
I got caught up on two. Two shows.
Okay. Kuma Bear. Sleepy Princess, you got caught up on.
Oh, yeah, no, three shows, because I did Slimes, Kuma Bear, and Princess.
So you are better than me. Well, technically, you're better than me, but I've been doing something else on the side, so. But yeah, I got, I'm just starting back on Sleeping Princess.
You're gonna love the part where they blame the princess for everything.
They're already doing that.
Oh, you seen that episode? That was hilarious.
No, I'm saying they're already doing that. I was going to text you the other day. I got caught up on The Day I Became a God, and I was gonna let you know that it gets key. Like very key. You're not gonna be happy. Character torture is coming, Chris. I don't know if you're ready for it.
Probably not, but I could probably push through that one.
Yeah. Enjoy it. And it came sooner than I thought it would, so I'm kind of curious what they're going to be doing.
It's drama type, not actually pain stuff, right?
Oh, it's painful. It's painful. Not really.
Emotional like pain or physical pain? Okay, yeah, emotional like I, said, I can key. Handle.
Like I said, a key. It's key
right.
stuff.
It's what I figured, but you were kind of teasing me in a way.
Well, I was trying to be vague, actually, is the term. I was trying to be very vague. But no, that Sleepy Princess, I was half watching because the only thing that I could find that was like dubbed on Funimation was I forget the whole stupid name of it, the Romeo and Juliet one. It was like the only one that was dubbed, so I pretty much half watched that one while I was setting up my room.
Choosing a future or something like that.
Yeah, the really long title one with the Romeo and Juliet story. The witches and the soldiers. It did something pretty cool this recent episode that's technically been spoiled to us since the OP first showed up in that show, but it's a lot better than I thought it would be, but not, like, blowing me away. But like I said, I just threw that on because it was the only one that was dubbed that I could find, so... Yeah. I'm waiting on everything to get caught up, though. I guess we only have, like, what, 2 more weeks left to get caught up on everything?
Right.
Plus, I want to watch Great Pretender, because that's technically released this season, so I want to make that part of the reviews. So, I do really want to watch through that one. But yeah, it's been a pain in the butt to get caught up on everything, because, you know, internet here is not the greatest until I can get an alternate source here soon. So my time to watch it really is only in the morning. So as long as I don't have like a project to take care of, I'll hopefully be able to get caught up, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, my only time
that you're getting ready.
My only time to watch anything is at night. And I feel like I would be being mean to mom if I was to.
Well, that's a good thing. Cause it's like the reverse to me. I have to watch it in the morning cause the internet sucks. And you have to watch in the evening, so we don't have to worry about our one user one stream per account thing.
There you go.
Technically. So that's a good thing, I guess. Plus the 2-hour difference kind of helps as well, so we got everything covered there. But yeah, it's other than that, I do have a side project. I have been watching Dragon Ball Super with the other brother, so... We are tackling that right now.
I have to do some caught up.
I'm still getting him caught up. We've burned through what was the first one they did? It was the Battle of the Gods. We did the Frieza arc, and we're just getting into the tournament arc. So we burned through that in like 2 days. So
you're just about caught up to where we were before we stopped watching.
Together, yes, but I was trying to figure out where I was at, and I'm like, I technically did watch all the way through the tournament, and I think I finished the Black Goku arc.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Tournament.
Yeah, we watched.
I thought that I didn't finish the tournament until I was looking for the Black Goku arc, and I'm like, but I watched Black Goku, so I had to have finished. And then I remembered, oh yeah, that's right, the tournament ended like really crappy. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, I did watch all of that.
I think they split up the tournament. There's two tournaments. Yes. Because everybody was talking about almost sounded like they were talking about a second tournament.
Right. I was kind of scrolling ahead, and I started seeing like talks of the other universes and stuff and preliminaries that are certain members are trying to be a part of. I'm like, oh yeah, that's going to keep going. Because they heard how much Andrew loves tournament arcs.
Well, yeah, like but Dragon Ball Z was like the starter of the tournament, so you can kind of go with Dragon Ball tournaments.
I don't know if it was Dragon Ball. I don't know.
I'm curious which one would actually start it.
I mean, they would popularize it.
That's true. It would be hard pressed to figure if Yu Yu Hakusho or Dragon Ball started it.
That's what I mean. Like Yu Yu Hakusho, like opened up with it. And I don't remember which one of those two came out first. I thought Yu Yu Hakusho came first.
And Yu Yu Hakusho, I think, got kind of tired of the whole... but I never got very far in the arc after the tournament. Which Yu Yu Hakusho's tournament was just awesome. I loved their...
Yeah.
Their
and they went into it pretty quickly. It's like they did the whole like segment of him being in the actual world, and then boom, they jump right into that tournament arc, if I remember correctly. But yeah, it was funny because I was thinking, because I was talking to Bobby while we were watching it, and I'm like, the thing that I remember was that my frustration, of course, hit me again of the idea that there's no point to anybody but Goku. And that's what's really frustrating about the series as a whole, is it's always, let's throw fodder at it until Goku shows up.
Yep.
And then I thought to myself, well, that technically is the reason why tournaments work for this series, because it's the only way you can get anybody else besides Goku to shine is because here's Big Bad,
Goku off of here's the, fodder, the main and here's stage. Goku.
Well, right, and it doesn't have to be a complete smackdown happening with the cast members until Goku shows up. They can be on equal footing with somebody, so it actually works for it. So, but yeah, that's been a lot of fun because I was. Our other brother's not technically like super fan or anything. He's like, every now and then I'll get him to watch a show. Like the last one I got him to watch was a Fate Apocrypha, and he didn't finish it. And before that, it was Sword Art Online, and then I don't even remember what was before that, because I think that was like a out of nowhere. Hey, I'm watching Sora Online. It's like, oh, cool, you're watching that. All right, cool. He's watching a show again. Watch this. So to have like a show to sit down with him and watch again, I think Dragon Ball is the perfect one for that, just because it's like, I mean, we were growing up, we watched that together, so it made sense as an easy thing for us to watch together. And we've been enjoying, like, remembering all these characters and different stuff. Like, he picked up on the Ginyu Force guy being the frog. He's like, oh, that was that one guy. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. That was that one guy. So, that's been cool. Just getting something to watch together with him is always fun. Just to hopefully pull him into our world. And maybe later on we'll have, like, a
Shonen cast podcast.
Yeah, we'll do a Dragon Ball Z cast with him and go over the whole thing with him. So
we've been promising Bobby joining a Talk of Spirit for years.
Yep, the perfect way to do it is Dragon Ball.
You guys finally got your Kill la Kill episode.
Is that right? I'm surprised I didn't get a bunch of people yelling at me about that. Of course, I didn't check the forum to see if there was any posts yet.
No, just everybody teasing that that the person that was complaining about not hearing it hasn't noticed it yet.
But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. Hopefully, I can get him into something else. I might see if he'll watch Great Pretender with me. But we'll see. We'll see. I gotta get him into something else. I was thinking of doing Demon Slayer as well.
I think he would get a kick out of Demon Slayer.
I mean, because we talked about that. Like, Demon Slayer is, like, pretty much the new pinnacle shonen right now. I mean, its movie right now is doing gangbusters. I think they were saying that it passed up Spirited Away and Your Name, so it's doing crazy. It's doing real crazy right now. But other than that, anything else special? I got Bradamante on Fate Grand Order, but I know you don't care anymore. I literally logged in and did a tin roll and got Bradamante. I'm like, okay, I guess it's trying to get me to play this game again, but I'm not really playing that much.
Who's that?
It's the new character on Fate Grand Order. She's like, she's the one that was made famous because her Noble Phantasm is like a butt shot. If I had to be specific. I mean, she looks kind of like a blonde pigtail version of Ren Tasaka, is what she reminds me of.
Oh, yeah.
Really cute. So I was pretty happy that I got her, but like I said, I'm trying to do the event right now. The event really just gives you, like, the Luchamonde girl Christmas version, and she looks terrible, so I'm not really too ecstatic about getting her, even though she's free. It's like grinding another event right now. I just don't really feel it. Especially since next week, 1.2 is coming.
Oh, yeah?
Are you excited for that?
Yeah, kind of.
Genshin Impact, new stuff.
I'm so afraid that I'm gonna end up giving up on that one because of the time constraints. It's just, it's insane.
Yeah, but it's been working out for me because it's kind of like one of those things where I log in, burn some resin, and log out. It's not like of course, having a new area is probably going to be a time sink. But no, I think the only thing that I'm frustrated about the new zone for Genshin Impact is the fact that they have that whole, freeze meter thing going on. So, like, you can only be in the area for so long and you, like, get cold. And so you have to do things to offset it. It's like super not into that whole mechanic in any game that I've ever played. Like when it showed up in Ghost of Tsushima, I'm like, no, why are we doing this? No, why? I don't like this feature. So, but yeah, I'm not too interested in the characters they have come with it, but I'll definitely be jumping into that stuff. But yeah, with that, that's one of those things where it's like, I kind of need to cut out a lot of my Genshin Impact because that's taking up my anime watching time because I don't have much time right now.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's about all I have on my end.
Yeah, because me sharing time, trying to just keep mom entertained for a little while and because I'm going to have to start watching shows on my laptop or something. I've got to figure out something. And Genshin Impact is just, yeah, Genshin Impact just is not even fitting into that at all. At least until they get it over there on the Switch.
Yeah, where's that? Well, I was doing pretty good on the phone and the tablet. I actually had to force myself to get used to playing on the phone and tablet because I didn't have my computer for quite a while. And that was interesting that I managed to actually master that art.
I tried to play on the iPad. That just wasn't working. I tried to because I had when I thought that I was going to be going with you guys, I went ahead and downloaded Genshin Impact onto my laptop, figuring I could just hook up my controller onto it. But apparently Windows 10 doesn't like my controller a device that makes it wireless so that I can connect it to the it didn't like that at all. So that idea went out the window real quick because there's no way that I can play on that laptop without a controller.
Yeah, touchpad yeah. Playing. You would have to have a mouse or something, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're a little more friendly with the controllers now, because that was a frustrating thing, having to, like, log out and log back in just to get the controller, and they finally swapped the buttons, but they're still having to go into the menu and change the controller every time you log in. Is like, why? Why can't the main screen have default controller and it just goes in? I can't get everything I want. Has to be something taken from me. But yeah, it's been interesting the last couple weeks though, and a lot of news popped up, so we should probably jump into that stuff.
That news? That elephant right there?
Well, I had this like way towards the bottom. I'm like, I know we're going to bring it up like several times throughout the podcast, so why don't we just get it out of the way at the very beginning? No, I texted Chris at some point this week. I think it was this week or last week. And I don't know if you've seen it before I did, but I was pretty much like, this is probably the worst way it could possibly be announced. I was not happy with how this was announced. And that's Funimation tweeted, and this is the original way that I seen it was that they tweeted this link to their blog announcing that they have actually acquired Crunchyroll. So Funimation themselves, as Funimation Global Group, is announcing that they have signed an agreement to acquire Crunchyroll. So it wasn't Sony announcing it. It wasn't anybody else announcing it. It was Funimation themselves saying that they have acquired Crunchyroll specifically. And that just threw away all of my... Every time we've discussed this, I always had like these... Here's the worst side of it, and here's the best side of it. And it threw away all the best sides of it when Funimation themselves announced it, because that idea, that odd idea that I had that they would actually compete still, the odd idea that they would stay separate entities, all that stuff got thrown out the window. Now it's officially they're going to absorb it. There's no way around it.
Yeah, that's how it kind of feels to me. I mean, that just. Oh, yeah, by the way, we acquired them. Yeah, obviously they're not even going to try to keep them separate at all.
Yeah, they in the announcement, they said they're still waiting for, you know, there's different regulatory groups and stuff that have to actually approve it in the end, but they have signed to do it. So this is pretty much all but done at this point. It's not official, it's not 100%, but it's all but done at this point. It's... The nail has been hit, pretty much. Like I said, the frustrating thing about it is that they're claiming that, you know, of course Crunchyroll is going to stay doing what it's doing, but it's only a matter of time before they're just absorbed at that point, which is frustrating because, if anything, I'd want Crunchyroll to retain its name, whereas this is pretty much they're combining the two. It's going to be a thing eventually. I thought it was going to be a thing where they would... Because, like, Aniplex and Funimation, they remain separate. Even though, after Sony bought Funimation, the big discussion we had was, is Funimation going to become Aniplex? Is Aniplex going to become Funimation? I didn't think it was going to be Aniplex becoming Funimation, because Aniplex has a Japanese branch and a U.S. branch. I doubt they would want to get rid of that name. Whereas, at least with Funimation, I don't think at this point, some people disagree. It's not really it's a big name and it's been around for a long time, but nobody's going to cry over losing Funimation's name. I don't think. That's my opinion.
Well, I think
Crunchyroll has a much bigger brand than Funimation at this point.
I think it's going to be pretty obvious that they're going to probably try to just say, okay, this is our sub side and this is our dub side. But I do believe that they're going to merge each other mostly on the aspect of efficiency. It would be more efficient for them to be one business.
And that's, again, where I go back to the fact that Funimation announced it leads me to believe that eventually Crunchyroll is going to be absorbed into them. And that's why I have a huge fear for the people at Crunchyroll. Because we talk a lot with a lot of people at Crunchyroll. I don't really talk to anybody at Funimation. And so I do have a little bit of a connection with the people at Crunchyroll. And to see that they're going to have possibly a threat put to them sucks. Like, they're obviously not going to have everybody employed at Funimation and Crunchyroll still around. I mean, my personal hope is that at least the side that handles a lot of the infrastructure and the servers and the apps and everything, that side retains, because as we've joked about it several times, Roberts, the Funimation side of infrastructure and streaming and apps and platforms is terrible. And they need Crunchyroll to handle that side. My hope would be that, you know, Crunchyroll would retain the streaming stuff and their team would handle the streaming. Maybe just keep Crunchyroll as a brand for streaming, and then Funimation just be the brand for distribution, which I don't think will happen, just because I think they themselves even know that the distribution side is going to be slowly dwindling over time. But it does beg the question of how they're going to see themselves as a company going forward, and how much of that means that a lot of team members are going to be lost in the fray, which really does suck in the end. I got a kick in because their big label when they announced it was Funimation Group to acquire Crunchyroll. Fans win. Like, how do you figure that? Like,
yeah.
Again, we've talked about the benefits being, yeah, this technically means that hopefully more stuff gets dubbed. We don't have that divide in licenses where half the stuff doesn't get dubbed because it's with Crunchyroll. We have the fact that, yes, technically both catalogs can go into one catalog and be one subscription. But that's if everything goes well and we don't see a monopoly, price increase, censorship happening through Sony. There's nothing keeping gatekeeping at this point.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing that we're holding out hope on is the fact that, yeah, we can see all the benefits on the wall. We acknowledge them. We know that they're there. But there's always going to be this other side, the pessimistic side, because all of us have that. We have the optimistic side and we have the pessimistic side. Some of us, you know, tend to lean towards one more than the other, depending on how many times you've gotten yourself burned a few times. But the pessimistic side is obvious. I mean, like Andrew was saying, the fact that they are technically now the only gatekeepers. I mean, we hope that some of these other ones, the Retro Crush and the Sunrise on YouTube, figure it out at some point, and so that we can Sentai have Film at Works. Least, huh?
And Sentai Filmworks.
Yes, so that we can hope that a lot of those other places show up and give them a run for their money. But as it stands right now, they're the two biggest kids on the block. And they just became one big bully on the block.
Yeah, you said it perfectly by saying that it's how many times you get burned. The pessimistic side often is built on the idea of how many times you've been burnt. And our burnt side is the fact that we have had their parent company, Sony, do the gatekeeping to the Sony PlayStation platform. So gaming itself has changed because Sony was the big dog around. And granted, right now, even with gaming, you technically have the Switch with Nintendo being the new platform for things that aren't censored to crap. But still, a lot of these game makers, like we mentioned before, the Shingon Kagura guy, basically said that he, you know, he's giving up on the franchise. Not really, he didn't say he's giving up on the franchise, but he's having to change the game to be sold on the Sony platform because that is the big dog. It's not a thing of him going, well, we had to change it because Sony wanted it that way, but we'll release it over here. No, he's changing it to meet their standards. And that's the fear that we have with anime, is that thankfully the only thing that we have as a saving grace is that we're not really the biggest market for anime. Like, when a studio in Japan goes to make an anime, they're making it to advertise a manga generally. And the manga is being sold in Japan. So they're going to make it in a way that sells that manga. They're not going to go, well, we need to make sure that we take a little bit of this, you know, fan service out because it's got a stream on Funimation in America and Sony doesn't like that. They're not going to care. We're just going to get what they end up with. So as long as, technically, as much as we say there's a censorship that happens in gatekeeping, that hopefully is kept held back because, again, we are not the money makers for them. It's them selling something in Japan. So,
well, my biggest frustration with that is that they've already done it. They've already done it at least once that we know of. And we can hold out hope that they'll hopefully change their attitude, but it's not looking that way, seeing as how we, like I said, we've already had it happen once.
Where something was censored?
They just yanked the entire show off of their block.
Oh, right. And then what happened in response to that? Those of Entertainment license it. So yeah, the gatekeeping. So you're right. Technically, the gatekeeping is still a thing, because what will be allowed to come over here is going to be chosen by one company. But there is still the aspect that another company can step up and take it. So yeah, with Interspecies Reviewers, Nozomi Entertainment came in and said, they couldn't stream it because Funimation still has a license to the streaming, but at least Nozomi Entertainment can come in and go, hey, we're gonna sell that Blu-ray because they acquired that license. Now, I'm not sure if they had to buy that license for the distribution from Funimation, because I would assume that Funimation got that at the same time. Or maybe they just got the streaming one and held off on buying the distribution rights afterwards. But you're correct. There's still the aspect that something will not get streamed here. But my point more is in the idea that I don't mind that so much. Like, if Sony says, I don't want to bring this over here, I don't mind that as much as I don't want Japan to go, I have to change this in order for it to go to America. That's where I get really upset. I mean, if it's something that's so... And I do see what you're saying there technically is that it makes it more difficult to watch it, because then we have to go to pirate sites, which you don't really want to do. But at least there is the idea that that it will exist. And even if Sony says we're not doing this, or Funimation says we're not doing this, people will still be able to go and see it, and they can see what they're missing out on. Like, okay, we're missing out. Like, say at one season, half the shows are full of ecchi stuff, and Funimation's like, heck no, we're not going to have any of that stuff on our platform. Well, then they're going to see a whole loss in subscriptions for a while, because everybody's going to be watching it elsewhere for an entire entire season. And possibly the people over at Crunchyroll that are within Funimation are going, you guys, please, you got to understand, you got to have this stuff on your platform.
Yeah.
Go back to your corner.
and that was what my warning was a couple of, or a month or so ago, when we were mentioning that they were talking about doing it, is, when it comes down to it, they've got a very short plank. I mean, depending on how far they push themselves to the edge, is really going to see what the fandom ultimately decides on them.
Yeah. But yeah, I would expect that we'll probably still retain. Now, the big question that I have is really, yeah, there's going to be things that are already in works before this happened. I almost wonder if Crunchyroll already seen it, the writing on the wall, because technically, I mean, a lot of people joked about the fact that they were gloating about subscription numbers and stuff, like literally a week before all this stuff started popping up with the deal and everything, almost as if they were almost saying, hey, look, we're doing really fantastic, Sony, don't fire us all after you buy us. But it seemed like literally especially with this season, that Crunchyroll picked up or didn't pick up much at all. Like I'm looking at my schedule to actually do my watch list for what to watch, and it is just nothing on Crunchyroll, and I'm having to go to Funimation's crappy app just to figure out what I'm gonna watch.
That's why I ended up having to message you and say, hey, look, I need the password here.
Yeah, it's because there's just probably 4/5 of the entire season's on Funimation, so we're not seeing much at all from Crunchyroll. And I almost wonder if it was because they knew this was coming and that they didn't want to acquire that much stuff. So
yeah, I'm wondering about that too. Either that or AT&T started cutting back their budget.
They're spending. Yeah, because they're like, okay, we're going to be acquired anyways. Why waste a bunch of money right now when that could be their money to spend?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely I do see something like that being a thing. And that's begging the next question is, what will we see, like, with next season? Is next season going to be completely dry with Crunchyroll? Or are they going to have things that are already pre-established that they want to... Because that's what it seemed like with this season. It seemed like everything they have really is pre-established stuff. Like, they already had Is the Order Rabbit. They already had Fire Force. So they're just continuing those rather than it being a new thing they're bringing up.
Which that also, I mean, if you think about it, the joke and what you were saying is probably right, where they were saying, look, we're doing a good job, please don't fire us thing, because as much as that sounds silly, it actually makes a lot of sense if they already knew that that it was going to go through. Because if they didn't know it was going to go through, then it was them saying, look, hey, we're actually worth the purchase.
Yeah. I also thought it was funny in their statement on their blog. It was, they said, combining these two great companies will be a win for fans and enable us to compete at a truly global scale. What was taking you buying Crunchyroll before you guys started eating global? like that's the biggest issue that people have with Funimation, and that's the biggest fear a lot of people have right now, is that now that Crunchyroll's bought by Funimation, what's going to happen with a lot of these other countries that Funimation wasn't streaming out there?
What was that thing called? Funimation Now or something like that? Where they were trying to get into the UK market?
It was about the same time they made Funimation Now, yeah. It was, a lot of it was to do with UK and stuff. And that's a lot of the feedback that I see is people going, wait, we don't have any of these shows. Are we now... lose Crunchyroll too, and everything's going to be locked out? Or are they going to use Crunchyroll's connections and the platforms they've already established elsewhere to piggyback off of? Which, that's good. Awesome. I'm fully supporting that, because that's one of the big things that I see as a pro to this whole thing, is that maybe now Funimation's catalog will now be in those areas. Granted, it's not as simple as, okay, now that we have Crunchyroll, copy-paste all of our titles over there. No, they have to buy the licenses to stream them there as well. So it's not like this just opens up the floodgates. They're still going to have to establish licenses there. Maybe the reason that they were keeping from getting those licenses because they didn't have a proper footing in these regions. We don't know. It's something that's time's going to have to tell with it specifically. So I don't know.
It's the same with me. The more and more I think about it, the less and less I like this. But hey, that's just me.
Wait, at some point you liked this?
I know, right? No, I mean, more along the lines of I'm liking it less and less.
Okay, so I was already disliking it. Now I dislike it even more.
Yeah. the more it just things going through my head, and it's like, this is the worst idea ever. This is just not going to work out in any way, shape, or form for anybody. I hope the best. I really do hope the best, but it's not, the pessimistic side of me is just overwhelming the entire situation.
Right. So to give people a nutshell of my thoughts is, it's really the biggest negative is that monopolies are not good, because now that they have such a huge stronghold on anime in the West, they have no incentive to innovate, and they're more likely to gatekeep, which gatekeep is not good at all. The positive is, yeah, we have more dubs availability. We have less subscriptions to deal with, hopefully. And the biggest one that I brought up in this particular podcast that I think right now that's keeping me positive is that we have to remember that the Western market is not a huge percentage of money making for Japan. These shows are not made to sell in America. They're made to sell manga. They're made to sell multimedia projects. They are made to sell things in Japan. So they're not likely to adjust what they do to make Sony happy. And that's the biggest plus that we can say. The biggest positive I can give people is to remember that. The other thing to remember is that Sony technically wants this to be successful. And so, yes, they may try the gatekeeping. We need to vote with our wallet at those point. And to show them that if they want this to be successful, which they want this to be successful, they spent $1 billion on this thing, they should be hoping that this is successful. We need to make sure that we're heard, not in nasty ways. We need to be positive and, you know, very structured about how we voice our concerns, and let them know that if they want this to be $1 billion they make back, that they do it properly. And I think that's the biggest positive I can probably give it. But again, my biggest negative is I don't like the idea of a, and like you said, and the market always adjusts. So if they do end up gatekeeping and they lose a lot of subscriptions, it's more likely that a company like Sentai Filmworks, who's in the past been very open about having uncensored stuff, will jump in there and offset it, hopefully. Though, yeah, again, the concern there is that the price of the licenses will be greater than what they can actually manage, because Sony's going to probably throw a lot of money at it and raise the price on the actual licenses.
Who was the?
Sentai Filmworks chains in there.
Who is it that ran the Anime Network?
That was Sentai Filmworks.
Was it Sentai Filmworks?
And yeah, they made
they
that.
Kind of threw in the they kind of threw in the towel, but they could come. They might be able to come back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They technically never went anywhere. They just keep making new websites, and the newest one is HiDive. So hopefully Sentai Filmworks with HiDive remains a thing, and hopefully they can compete until that point comes that they can see an opening and actually jump in there. If there are those titles that Sony goes, oh, we can't have that on the platform, they'll jump in there and grab that. It's funny because I fear for Sentai Filmworks right now, because I'm afraid everything in licensees is going to inflate because they know that Sony is going to have to pay, and Sony will pay. And I'm hoping that doesn't block Sentai Filmworks from being able to keep functioning, that they don't get droughted out, like just the big bully on the street takes over everything. Because we need them to succeed, because that is really our only competition to Sony and Funimation. Yeah, there's Netflix, which is they've rolled out a lot of shows, and they're looking like they're keeping to a solid catalog. But I don't hold much hope for them, because they want their own stuff. They don't want to license other people's stuff. So they're not really in the same area. And Amazon's pretty much given up at this point. I don't believe they're ever going to be getting anything else going forward. I think the last few things they had were just carryovers from previous cores.
Yeah, the Noi Tamina block that they locked out for, what, a year and a half or 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah, that finally kind of gave up, so. Or that finally expired. So yeah, it's we'll see how things go, and as things come up, hopefully we can get on here and let you guys know our thoughts on it. Hopefully people aren't sick of hearing us talk about Funimation and Roberts and everything. But it is important because this is literally game changing for the fandom. As much as I don't like to say that, a streaming service for the content that we enjoy is huge and game changing. So we'll see. As we always say, we'll see. Yeah. Moving on. Let's move on. Let's move on to more positive things, I guess. Even though we're kind of positive with all that stuff. I mean, keeping a positive outlook on things is important. So, yes, the next one we have is Love and Lies. The 11th compilation volume for the series manga has announced that the series is coming to a conclusion. So, all those people keeping up on that particular manga know that it is coming to a conclusion here soon, which I think Kodansha Comics is currently publishing that in the West, so hopefully somebody's keeping an eye on that one. I don't know. Do you remember how we were? I mean, I definitely do remember having a lot of frustration with this series when it was animated. I don't remember what my final thoughts are. I think the ending felt very botched and very manga bait, but
It was one of those that were, if I remember right, I felt really mixed on it because it wasn't going the way I wanted it to, I guess.
Yeah. I seem to remember it being very cruel to a certain character. That was kind of frustrating to me. And like I said, I think the biggest frustration is that the ending was very manga bait. So,
because yeah, it's one of those that you can kind of see both directions, but at the same time it was like, but she's so perfect, why would you do that to her?
you have it made. You're fine, just stay happy right now. You're in a good spot, just go with it.
This is one of those where you go, I could just go with a harem ending on this one, just do it, the harem ending, just make them both happy. Or both of the girls just go off and run away together.
Yeah, that's usually what this comes to, because you usually get frustrated by the main character and you're like, just the girls be happy together.
Put the girls together, get rid of the guy.
Next volume, Yuri, okay? But yeah, that's hopefully people that are still reading that are enjoying how that's going.
At least it's better than the Rent-A-Girlfriend, where you don't want to see any of the girls happy.
Yeah, it's not that I want to see him happy, it's just that I hate the main character.
hate the guy so much, and then all the girls are like, I don't like you, I kind of like you, you're all right.
Yeah, we'll see with the next season of that one, how one particular girl turns out, because right now she is not anybody's friend, except people that like that kind of stuff.
I'm really holding out hope on that one, because I do kind of like the girls. I'm middle of the road on one of them, and the other two I'm kind of okay with.
Yeah, one got like one episode. One whole episode.
Oh yeah, there's four girls, huh? That's right.
Yes. Four? Yes, four girls. Yes, right now. Four girls, yeah. Next one we have, Discotech has licensed some new titles. So we have Kenichi, the Mightiest Disciple, Future Robo, Daltanias, Kodansha, Video Warrior, Lazarion, Grimm's Fairy Tale Classics, Maho, Raba, Heartful Days, Fighting General, Deimos, Lupin the Third Part 3, Lupin the Third, Return of Pycall, Blackrock Shooter, and Arion. So, good stuff there. And apparently, they're doing a Blu-ray release of Project Aiko, so Andrew's super excited. Even though I've already bought all four of them. Hopefully, they do a compilation, like, all one Blu-ray release. That'd be nice, please. I don't want to buy, like, four separate Blu-rays again. Yeah, that's super cool.
Ring a bell? As far as shows that I remember.
Yeah, Kodansha, I'm very much familiar with Kodansha's art style, and I'm not sure where I'm placing it, so I'm not sure if I watched that one or not.
The name of it sounds familiar, but I don't recognize it off the top of my head.
Everybody's like, of course, Kodansha Comics.
Yeah. But yeah, apparently that as far as the rest of them, I mean, Black Rock Shooter, but that's a game, isn't it?
Yeah, they made a game of it. It was popularized by Hatsune Miku. Right. They did a Black Rock Shooter thing with Hatsune Miku, so.
Grimm's Fairy Tales I recognize, but I never actually watched it. And most of these are all shows that I know because I've been around it for so long, but not any that I've actually watched. Even Mightiest Disciple, I absolutely know that one. I have not watched it yet.
Yeah.
Lupin, of course. Everybody knows Lupin. Yeah, well, you've been around for more than 3 years. You've probably heard of Lupin because it comes out every year and a half or so.
Right. I'm glad they're getting all those titles, though, all the Lupins. That's really cool. That's such a classic series that it's good that somebody's picking up all that stuff. So I think they've pretty much picked up everything Lupin. If you're excited about the acquisition of Crunchyroll, it's good to know that you will be able to watch Crunchyroll's catalog on the Funimation app for Switch.
That, honestly, truth be told, I was about ready to say I am actually kind of excited about that.
Have you tried it yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'm curious how well it plays. Not how well it plays on the Switch, but how well it functions on the Switch. Because I actually was planning on testing it before we did this podcast, but my desire was to test it because I wanted to see, like, are their app-making groups getting better? Because obviously they're not updating the Apple TV one, and the Apple TV one sucks. So I'm hoping that the Switch version is good. That way it'll give us at least some kind of positivity to how they can make apps in the future. But yeah,
of course, my Switch wants to do a complete and total update.
Oh, yeah, you can't go to the store without testing that or updating that. So, I mean, it looks good.
Oh, but my poor character is still dead in the last boss.
Character's dead?
Yeah, remember I sent you that picture almost 2 weeks ago?
Of Secret of Mana?
Yeah.
Tales of Mana?
Yeah. I sent you that the text of the picture of my character dead in the boss, and I turned it off, and I haven't touched it since.
I don't see I don't see any reason why I'd ever watch anything on the Switch, just because if I'm going to watch it mobile, I'll do it on my phone, and if I'm at home, I'm going to use my Apple TV, but
if
the app's better...
I'm kind of happy about it because of the fact that I was seriously thinking about getting myself a new Roku. I was originally going to go with a Apple TV, but as I was researching it, I ended up finding out that Roku has a new soundbar thing, so I could get a soundbar and the new Roku and take care of both of them at the same time. But it being on the Switch at least takes the edge off of not being able to watch my shows on my TV, which is really the main problem. Yeah. I don't like the fact that I'm having to watch it on my laptop or on my iPad.
Yeah, I see, like, watching it in the living room or something like that on that screen would be decent, too. Because, I mean, it's not as small as your phone screen, but it's portable enough that you can do that. And plus, you have the audio jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. So, good stuff there. I don't think Crunchyroll's on there yet. Are they?
No, Crunchyroll is absolutely not. But if seeing as how they've now combined forces and... the actual app is now on the Nintendo Switch, that takes, like I said, takes the edge off of it. So I don't feel like I have to go and get myself a $600 Roku thing. Or actually, it's $300.
Yeah, the only caveat I would put to that for, I know you know this, but just for people that are listening, don't take this to mean that if you're going to get entire Crunchyroll catalog and Funimation right now. They still need to finalize the actual buy, the regulatory team and all that kind of stuff. They have to make sure that everything is, you know, according to federal law. And then after that, they still cannot throw the entire catalog on Funimation, one, because they would have to transport all of that data over to Funimation servers unless they do some kind of proxy. And then secondly, the licenses are actually, most of the time, they are worded in a way that they can only be streamed on specific platforms. And they put that in the actual licensing clauses because they don't want Funimation to buy the license to stream it and then throw it on Netflix. They have to specify which platforms they can stream it on. So even if they do buy Crunchyroll as an entirety, it still doesn't mean that they can grab all those titles and start streaming them on Funimation's platform, because those licenses could be specifying that you can only stream it on Crunchyroll. So it might take some time. Like, even Aniplex's titles took a long time before they were finally on Funimation, because they had to, one, move the titles, and two, make sure that, you know, licensing would allow it. So just for people to know. But yeah. Congratulations, Switch, on getting the Funimation app. Hopefully, Roberts did a better job on that one. We'll see. Bobby was getting frustrated by their app, too, as we were watching Dragon Ball. He's like, does this always do this? I'm like, yeah, it's a really terrible app. Mm-hmm. So now we have a non-anime fan saying that they hate the app, too. So we have more case study being created as we go along. CloverWorks' new original TV anime, Wandering Egg Priority, has a new PV that reveals staff, theme song, and January 12th premiere date. So that one is still moving forward. Again, for those that don't remember, the anime story begins when a protagonist, a 14-year-old girl named Aoi Oto, hears a mysterious voice while walking around town late at night. It gives her an egg and beckons to her, if you wish to change the future, you need only choose now. Now believe in yourself and smash the egg.
That's I.
What'd I say?
Aoi.
Did I say Aoi? I said Aoi. Oh, anyways, yeah, it's fine. Aoi Oto. So, yeah. Cool stuff. Like I said, I always kind of look forward to the original animes because it's not them trying to sell a manga. I mean, they can later, but usually it's kind of
they
a
usually end
studio
up
doing something original. Yeah, I mean, they
make an original and like then go and make a manga for the original.
Yeah, because technically, an anime itself doesn't make much money, unless it's a movie from a big franchise. It's usually them trying to support something. So usually when you get original, yeah, you'll have maybe a multimedia project with a phone game. Maybe they'll have a manga that's being created on the side of it as it's airing. I know Hanasaki Roha, they did that, where they were actually doing the anime as they were releasing the publication, the published actual light novel, I think it was. So, yeah, I'm always looking forward to them because they always have like these unique stories that nobody has any idea what's going to happen with them. And the artwork so far looks good. I like the character designs. The main girl looks cute. So definitely looking forward to what CloverWorks. And CloverWorks has been doing some really good work here lately. So I have a lot of hope for them as a studio. So looks kind of like... it reminds me a lot of that... what was the one where the girl met the egg and lost her voice? It was a song show... Oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
I don't remember.
So
I do remember the show, and that one was she was too shy or something like that, and so they did the egg.
Yeah, she's seen her dad do something bad, and her mom got mad, and so she lost her voice.
And so she hid her voice. That's right.
Yeah.
And then Song of the Silent? Was it Song of the Silent?
That sounds close. I don't think it's it, though. Somebody's yelling at their speakers right now. That's the only reason we do this. We actually know what the title is. We just do this just to egg people on to yell at their speakers.
Just to drive you guys crazy.
Just so somebody can see you in the car next to you going, why are they yelling at their speakers?
Of course, Sound of Silence is what's popping up.
Sound of Silence. This is the troubling thing. I've moved. I got everything on shelves again, but now I got to remember where they're all at. It's everything's kind of shifted a little bit, and I think they're right above my head, so I can't actually see them in the position I am at. So,
did we buy it?
Yeah, we watched the movie. I had to buy the movie for us to watch it. It was an Aniplex release, so we had to buy it. Yeah, super good news. Well, I guess you could just go to Aniplex's site.
That would work.
I think it's still on their main site. Aniplex.
Silent Voice is what's popping up for me on Song of the Silent.
That's exactly it. It was a Silent Voice. That was the movie we were talking about. You remember he bullies her because she's deaf, and then she finds an egg, and that's the whole reason she's deaf. No? Is that it?
No.
Am I wrong?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Maybe. What, they used to have like a button that goes like straight to all, oh, there it is right there. Shows. It's like formatted like it's a mobile version of the site. But yeah, as I look that up, some decently really good news is prosecutors have finally indicted the arsonist that caused the fire for Studio One for Kyoto Animation. There is one newspaper that is currently reporting that the medical experts are deeming him as being mentally competent in order to stand trial. And I know that was a big, huge fear that a lot of people had, is that the way that Japan handles a lot of their mental cases, a lot of people kind of get, you know, for lack of a better term, pardoned because their mental capacity. And that seems, again, it's not 100% confirmed yet, but it seems likely that they will actually prosecute him and say that he is mentally capable of being prosecuted. So,
yeah, that took a while, I mean,
but they're doing it.
Yeah, it seems like that was almost granted, last year was insane. So, it was a year before then. So it's been two years.
The Anthem of the Heart. The Anthem of the Heart. That's the show.
Ah.
Sorry. Yeah, it's been a year. Because I think it was July 2019. Which is incredibly fast, because I know that a lot of trials like this in Japan usually take a lot of time. And I know that when it was originally happened, a lot of the prosecutors and stuff that got involved with it early on said they were going to push this forward. They're going to get this stuff moving. So they're not going to let it kind of fall into the cracks that typically happen in Japanese law, as far as I know. I'm not 100% on that stuff, but yeah, he is being indicted for charges of murder, attempted murder, arson, breaking and entering, and violating firearms and sword control laws. So that'd be a lot of
sword control laws.
Again, that
was he carrying a sword when he did that?
I think he had a gun.
I guess maybe firearm. Maybe they consider swords firearms there.
It's under one law. It's firearm and swords law,
right?
So weapons. That's why they list. No, I think weapons he did have it. He had a knife. That's right. He had a knife. It wasn't a gun. He had a knife. Or it was like a butcher knife or something like that. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad that that's coming, and hopefully we can get some closure there, because that's been, unfortunately, and then, I mean, that's the case with American law too. It's the stuff doesn't move very fast. As much as we want it to move fast, it doesn't move fast.
So. Yeah.
Good news though, there. Hopefully their families get a lot of closure from that being completed. And that's the only thing that sucks about it taking so long. It's not so much as us as outsiders looking in. It's more so for the families getting closure and justice being served. And like I said, that's the worst thing, to have that take so long. So, during a live stream from Kadokawa, two announcements were made for the second half of ReZero second season. They say that the anime world premiere on January 6th, so look forward to that. Not very far away at this point, which scares me. The next season's right around the corner. They also say that Nanook and Mayu Maeshima will be performing the theme songs for it. So I think we've had some pretty good music from them. So that's awesome. Are you looking forward to the second half?
Of course.
I got left on such a bad drop. I know that I complained about that when we did our podcast, but it was a bad spot to stop at because I'm like, where's the next episode? Oh, that's it? What the heck? Why stop there? Mm-hmm. Such a bad spot.
I don't think they've ever not stopped at a pretty bad spot. Because it's one of those stories that you just keep wanting to go. You don't really want to stop. It doesn't matter where it stops. It's always going to be a bad spot to stop.
It just felt like a turn page point. Like, here mm-hmm. comes the next page. Here's this point. It wasn't so much like with the ending of the first season. It was like you had the conclusion of a fight. Everybody seemingly was safe. He said something really stupid that angered everybody else. And it felt like a stopping point.
And you sat there and went, what the heck is this thing right here?
No, the dust was settled from the big current conflict. And right now we're in like the dead center of a conflict. And like I said, it feels like a page turn point. Like, I'm literally halfway turning the page and it stops. Not so much the page has already turned.
I'm absolutely teasing you. It's just a show that no matter how you look at it, you're always going to want to keep going. And yes, this felt a lot worse than the last time, but yeah, it's just, I'm teasing.
That would be one I would definitely want to get Bobby into. Unfortunately, I see him being similar to you, where he's not too into the idea of something being very brutally violent. So I don't know how he'll take to it, but that is definitely one that I want to get him into, and I think that'll be a cool one to watch together. So, next news we have is the January issue of Kadokawa's Dragon Age magazine has published the final chapter of the manga adaptation of Hinsuke light novels. So, I don't know. I kind of want to go read that manga.
I do too, actually. I did really kind of like that one.
Yeah, it was much better than
the other
one that came the season afterward. It's good to art style, too. I don't think that the studio managed to do a good adaptation just because they're not the best studio, but I love the art style. So, I'm interested to check that one out. I don't know that anybody has picked it up over here. I don't see any listed publishers. It says Kadokawa will publish the manga's sixth and final compilation book volume on February 9th. So, right around the corner. Let's see. Quintessential Quintuplets anime second season has released a new promo video and a January 7th debut date. So, that's the other big continuation title coming in winter, along with everything else. Have you started watching the Attack on Titans new season?
Mm-mm.
That came out early. I was like, they were talking about that. I'm like, oh crap, does that mean the season's over already? We need to get caught up already? And like, nope, it's just apparently they're coming early with the Attack on Titans final season. So,
oh, I didn't know that it had released. I think I did see that it popped up on something, and I was like, why? And it must be a dub or something, and just kind of
when I added it to the queue for Crunchyroll. That's probably what happened. But yeah, it started already. They already got like two episodes, and the first episode was all right. I'm still holding my words and what I tell you how much I hate a certain character showing up, but I'm sure you'll get there eventually in the manga. I'm still waiting to hear Chris's thoughts on a certain thing that happened, but I'm sure he'll see it in the anime adaptation here soon. God, I hate that character.
I don't even think that it's caught up with me yet, so I'm obviously farther along than we thought I was, so.
Well, that's why I said I'm wondering how much fat they're going to trim this time, because they technically have quite a bit to go through.
We were talking about how both of us were really confused about the whole time time warping thing that they're about to get into. So,
yeah, and I say
time warp so that the people who know what's going on know what I'm talking about, and the people who don't know what I'm talking about don't get spoiled on what's going on in the next part.
Yeah, and I eventually figured it out. It's just my problem with that at the time was like I had no clue where we were at when they jumped around, because they jumped around like two times, and it was like, so are we back at that point again, or are we at some other point? And eventually you figure it out, but it was like confusing for like a chapter or two. But no, I think my biggest fear right now is that they have a lot of stuff to cover, and I think this particular season is only going to be 12 episodes, and it's supposed to be the final one. So I don't know if they're just going to cut a crap ton of fat out or what, but let's see, how many episodes were they going to do? Final season started now. Let's see. 16 episodes. So that's why it's starting early, is they're chomping out 4 episodes before the core even starts. So I don't know. I guess I can see it happening in 16 episodes, but again, that is relying on the fact that they do what they've been doing for a while now, which is cut a crap ton of fat out. And that's what I totally see them doing, because this last few arcs, well, this particularly last, I would say it's like 3 arcs, technically. I would say probably 2 at the least. And those last 2 arcs have been very fat, like just a lot of dialogue, as usual with the manga creator. As much as I love his work, he gets way too wordy, and he repeats himself a lot, so. And again, well,
we were praising the director and storyboardist for being able to streamline the storyline.
But that's the big if there is, we technically have a new director. I don't know how much the previous, because it's a new studio. They went from Wit Studio to MAPPA. Assuming because Wit Studio could not get it in their schedule, and that's why they decided to go, well, let's just have MAPPA do it and get it completed. So, the director's new. The series composition is new, I think. He's done a lot of the series. So maybe that's the saving grace, that the series composition person is technically somebody who's done a lot of work. He didn't do the entire thing, but he's done quite a bit of it. Like with the first season, he did 3, 5 to 7, 10 through 11, 15, 17 through 18. So we'll see. We'll see if at least having him on board will keep it that similar fat trimming. it is sus, because it's not so much just the fat trimming, it's how they did it was perfect. Like, they didn't cut too much. They cut it in a way that it made more sense. And that's what I'm hoping that they retain with the MAPPA team and the people they have carried over. So, time will tell. So far with the first episode, looking good already, but technically with this first episode, it was mostly a big battle. I'm not say which battle, a big battle. So it's not like we had a lot of dialogue that could have been cut. So we'll see. I'm excited for it though. I think MAPPA does a lot better with the CGI than Wit Studio in some regards. I'm already seeing a little bit of it with this last episode. Quite a bit of it, actually. Doesn't stand out too much, as much as what studio stuff did. So we shall see. But yeah, Quintessential Quintuplets coming back January 7th. I'm still debating if I want to watch this series. Like, we had Best Girl winning with the end of the first season. I don't know that I want to start getting back into it being who's the pick. Because the Best Girl was winning, and I don't want to go back into it. I was happy with where it was going. So we'll see. We will see.
It could just end up being a harem ending, and you don't have to worry about it, Andy.
True. That's true. You know that I'm not. Technically, I only like two of the girls. Like the rest, I don't really care too much about. So I don't know that I care too much. I mean, yeah, harem ending with the two girls is fine, but I don't care that I need to, all of them. But we know what direction it's going, which direction it will go. Let's see. Kadokawa has announced that the Love of Kill, or Kuroshi Ai, manga will be getting an anime adaptation. This one looks really fun. I am actually kind of interested in this one. It's she's a professional hitman, and he is a professional hitman, and she's his target. Caught in a deadly game of cat and mouse, will she fall first or will he? So, kind of gives me a little bit of vibes of, yeah, technically it's not, they're not killing each other, but the whole, I'm blanking on the name of that show too, and it's like recently probably the best comedy ever. The Seto Kaicho one, the president and the vice, the student council president and the vice president. Love is War. Yeah. Kind of gives me vibes of that.
Oh, yeah?
That'd be a lot of fun. And she looks like Saber, so it works too with that regard. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that one turns out. But I'm looking forward to that one. I don't think we have any dates or anything yet. I think it's just announced, so. Another one that got announced in adaptation is Isekai Mikyu de Harem o Light Novel series is getting was listed by Kodansha's Bookwalker site as getting an anime adaptation. The English title is A Harem in an Alternate World Dungeon. The novel series centers around high school student Michio Kaga wandering aimlessly through life and the internet. He finds himself transported from a shady website to a fantasy world. Reborn as a strong man who can use cheat powers, he uses his powers to become an adventurer, earn money, and get the right to claim girls that have idol-level beauty to form his very own harem. Just getting right into it.
That sounds an awful lot like the one that that I was talking about that I really, really liked that I had been reading. But the only and it even has this same name as the protagonist in the one that I'm reading. So it's like, it's almost got to be that one. However, it doesn't, the one that I'm reading has nothing to do with idols. So it's like,
well, it's just saying idol level beauty. It's not saying they're idols. It's just saying they're beautiful. It's just the descriptor they're using in this synopsis.
I wonder what the name of mine translates to.
Well, what you're reading is probably the manga adaptation of it.
No, it's a light novel.
Oh, you're reading
it's light a novel. It's actually a web novel, truth be told.
It might be it. Just check out the names of the other characters.
Who's the writer of that one?
Sashi Sogano.
Yes, it's it. That's the one.
There you go.
I'll be darned.
You finally get the app. They were listening to you. So everybody can thank Chris for this becoming a thing.
I didn't think that it would actually ever actually be a thing.
Oh, it always is.
Because, and I guarantee you, people are going to hate on this story so bad.
Well, he sounds pretty shallow based on the synopsis.
No. It tends to focus a lot on the mechanics of the world. I really like this one. I'm actually rereading it right now because it's one of those that it's been on my list of stories that I've been wanting to read for a long time, and I keep getting sidetracked from it. So I've gotten actually really far into it. And so I'm rereading it just to get myself back up to where I know what's going on again. And the cool thing about it, where it says that he uses his cheat powers, is kind of misleading. He's got a...
Well, they do have it in parentheses, cheat. They're using air quotes.
Yeah. it's more along the lines of he has... imagine you're actually in a isekai, but you have the... you know how you go to a certain person to reset your stats and then just respec yourself? Mm-hmm. Effectively, that's his quote-unquote cheat power, is he has the ability to respec over and over and over again. So he's constantly respecing himself. And the reason why this story is going to get so much hate is because his harem is actually slaves. So yeah, that's the big bad thing that everybody's going to go crazy over.
Yeah, and are they slaves to him, or he's freeing the slaves?
Later on, he kind of quote unquote releases them. It's
'cause, I mean, that was,
not exactly.
That was similar to what hate that Shield Hero got, because technically, Philo was a slave, and then you also had the. What was the other show? Was it Death March? Was the other one where he was bringing a lot of slaves into his harem?
Yeah, and if you remember when I was talking about this, when we were talking about those stories, I ended up mentioning this story, because this story is one that I would love to see adapted, and to know that it's actually that the fact that how much hate those stories got because of this whole slave harem thing. I knew this one was going to get 10 times more, mostly because it's one of those compliant slaves is really what it's going to end up being, where eventually they're going to go, oh, but we love our master, blah, 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 blah. And he never really feels an obligation. He actually mentions it several times during the internal dialogue. He mentions that this world is different than his world. So he acknowledges that things are different in this world, and at some point what he effectively does is he sets up a system to where if he dies, his slaves are automatically freed. And he only acknowledges that he has them because he needs a team of some sort in the dungeon, but he doesn't really consider them slaves per se, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, it wasn't Philo, it was Raftilli. Raftilli was technically somebody that he bought in Shield Hero, but and that was the frustration everybody had, was like, oh, this is a thing, and it's like, that's technically a thing with another world. That's not anything new. I mean, this is not our world. It's not saying it's a good thing. It's just a thing that exists in this world.
But yeah, I really love this story. I cannot explain how much I'm excited about an anime adaptation of it. I have really, really wanted to see what they do with this. And I know that everybody in the world is going to hate me for even acknowledging this one as a thing. So it is what it is.
You mean the small minority, that the loud minority that's going to be upset about it, and everybody else going to be like, yeah, sure, another isekai, let's do it. Come on, we know our listeners love it.
Like I said, the cool thing about this story is, and I wonder how much of it they're going to get through, because just doing the first, I don't know. I think that there's enough content that each book could be at least two or three episodes each, so that could be only about four or five books to get through 12 episodes. How many episodes did they say that they're going to do?
Oh, it's probably going to be a single core. They're always a single core. I mean, it could turn into a Shield Hero thing and possibly get more, but they've literally only announced that it has an adaptation. So we don't really have much more than that.
They could do an easy two cores with it. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, hopefully.
I said, I really, really love the story, so I'm excited about it.
Cool stuff. I'm glad that got an adaptation. I'm glad they listened to you. Just it just shows how popular we've gotten, that these studios are listening to us. So just adapt more Bison Wolf, please. Still waiting.
Yeah,
still
waiting. Just to give you a little teaser, Andy. First girl is a puppy girl.
I seen her on the cover.
Yeah, and she is adorable. Second girl is a dwarf, and then there's a cat girl a little bit later. Yeah, it's a lolly.
Dwarf equals lolly in anime, people, just in case you didn't know.
Yep.
All right, cool stuff. Next bit of news we have, Real Romanesque has, the staff has announced that they will be getting a second season, so apparently that short that's running this season will continue on in the future, so. I still gotta finish the Switch visual novel that I bought so that I can finally watch that, but I can't yet. I don't know if you've been peeking in on that, even though it's a sequel.
I wasn't sure why we weren't watching it, so I completely just skipped right on over it.
Yeah, it was because it was a sequel to the visual novel that we haven't read yet, so I didn't think we'd get much out of it. Moving forward, we have Kakushigoto will be getting a theatrical compilation film. So for those that did not watch the series or loved it that much, look forward to a movie version of it eventually coming. The staff has teased that those who have watched or have not watched will both enjoy the film. So apparently, even if you've enjoyed it, they could be hinting at the idea of them having extra content in it, maybe. That's usually why they would say something like that, is that they either that or they just want people that watch the TV series not to just brush it off because they've already watched it. But there's a chance that they could be truthful with that and that you could get more content with the movie. But we'll have to wait and see. That's cool. That's cool that's getting enough recognition that it can get a theatrical release as well. For some dub news, we have Funimation has premiered the dub of Gleipnir. So if you're holding off on watching that, waiting for the dub, I know we have a lot of listeners that are dub purist. Thankfully, you can check out Gleipnir. It was a pretty decent little core that we watched of it. Unfortunately, as usual, having its little bit of manga baiting, but it was a cool show nonetheless. And Sentai Filmworks has released the official dub clip for a official dub clip for Blade of the Immortal, the 2019 edition. So we talked about that getting picked up by Sentai Filmworks for distribution from the Amazon streaming hell. And thankfully it's getting a dub as well. So I really do need to look into seeing if they have improved the quality with the Blu-ray release, because there was a lot of really cool fight scenes that I didn't get to see because we were looking at random objects instead of showing animation. So that one definitely could use a little bit of Blu-ray touching up. So hopefully that happens with that. Most likely not, because they just don't seem to do that much anymore, unfortunately. Let's see. Next bit we have is Shueisha's weekly Shonen Jump magazine has revealed that Chainsaw Man manga will be getting an adaptation by Studio MAPPA. This one's synopsis is, Denji's a poor young man who will do anything for money, even hunting down devils with his puppet devil dog, Pochita. He's a simple man with simple dreams, drowning under a mountain of debt, but his sad life is getting turned upside down one day when he's betrayed by someone he trusts. Now with the power of a devil inside of him, Genji's become a whole new man. A chainsaw man.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I've seen the artwork for this pop it up on Twitter at some point. Didn't really realize what it was for, but I'm always looking forward to MAPPA stuff. Hopefully that'll be a cool series. I've never really heard anything about it, so not sure if it's good or not, but we'll see. If anybody can handle action, it's MAPPA, so
that's an odd concept, that's for sure.
Yeah. Kind of like, it reminds me of the, again, blanking on names here, the one with the gunhead guy. It's like, that's Japan. I need a main character. Let's stick a gun on his head. I need a main character. Let's stick a chainsaw on his head. So, good on Japan. Keep being you.
That's why we love them.
Have you been keeping up on We Never Learn manga? Or are you just watching the show as it releases?
Just watch the show.
Yeah, apparently that one's manga is completing its parallel story arc, and the manga's next chapter will be teasing the conclusion of the story. I'm just stating it that way. I would advise you not to click on the link, Chris, if you're not already. Mm-hmm. The way they word it kind of technically spoils things, soft spoils things, so I decided to word it that way, that the parallel story is ending, and the next chapter will be teasing the conclusion of the story. So, if you're doing the manga, definitely be excited for that.
Intend on reading it at some point.
Yeah. I'm curious if it'll get more adaptations. I'm surprised it got two seasons worth. Maybe they're riding a wave of buys based on the first adaptation doing so well. I'm not sure. The manga creator Hiroyuki confirmed that the Kanojo Mo Kanojo manga is getting an anime adaptation. The English title is She's a Friend, a Girlfriend Too. The neo-romantic comedy manga centers around Naya, a first-year high school student. After he confesses to Saki, the girl he's liked for a long time, and they decide to start dating, Naya's life is full of bliss. However, one day, a beautiful young woman named Nagisa also confesses to Naya. Naya and Nagisa immediately get along, and he tells Nagisa that he's already has a girlfriend. She vows to confess to him again someday when he suddenly proposes that they instead go together to talk to Saki about him dating them both at the same time. Saki and Nagisa hit it off immediately, and while Saki is angry and reluctant at first about the idea, she eventually agrees.
So, why the heck not?
So we're going full on harem. Why not? Acceptance of harem. Very, very interesting. There's another bit of news that kind of goes along with that. So I guess we have a polygamy episode going on. Yu Aida, creator of Gunslinger Girl, has revealed that he is working on a new series. That's all we know. So, other than the fact that he's recruiting people. So, I'm excited for that. I really love Gunslinger Girl. And this is one of those conundrums of like, I want him to do, if he wants to do something new. But at the same time, I'd be perfectly fine with them keeping to what works for them, which is that kind of Gunslinger Girl style. So, but yeah, I'll be definitely keeping an eye on this to see what ends up coming from this creator in the future. So it'd be cool. 11 Arts has announced that they have licensed the Shirobaka movie. So we were kind of waiting to find out what was going on with the Shirobaka movie over in the West, but apparently 11 Arts has picked it up. It's no surprise, technically. They've been picking up a lot of the movies. But actually, it's surprising because I figured Sentai Filmworks would have picked it up, but 11 Arts has been doing very well on picking up movie licenses, so we have it coming over. That's exciting. So we can finally watch the movie, which I've been pretty excited about because I love the series. So. Seven Seas has announced a new multi-year sales and distribution agreement with Penguin Random House Publisher Services. They'll be moving away from their current distributor, Macmillan and Diamond Comics. I don't know anything about any of these companies, but I have read a few comments regarding this, and it seems pretty positive. Apparently people are not too much a fan with companies like Diamond, so hopefully this will be an improvement for them. Not so much them cutting back on costs, but more looking for better quality. That's always a positive. So, but time will tell. But good luck to them in the future. Some really positive news I'm sure Chris is super excited about. Inspectre anime is getting a second season. Are you excited?
About time.
Excited?
Yes, of course.
That was another one of those ones where I don't really feel like the anime covered enough. So, technically it covered a lot, but something was overly covered. I guess that was the problem. The whole idol ghost girl thing drug out a little bit extremely too long. Oh, that was just not a very good arc. So yeah, I love the characters. So I'm hoping forward storytelling will be a lot better, because I like the characters. I just want them in a better story and not such a drug out story.
Who knows? That might be that writer's style, and that's probably going to be the entire way of the entire show's or story.
Stop.
I don't know. That's kind of the way it looks if you think about both arcs of that
story. Stop with your logical thinking, Chris. I want illogical thinking only on this podcast right now. We'll see, though. I definitely am looking forward to those characters, though. Love them. So. Some interesting news. Kadokawa Gundam Ace magazine has revealed that they have 3 new manga coming for the Gundam franchise. And one that I'm, like, extremely interested in, which is the first one, Arasa. I'm guessing that's just OL, maybe all. Hamon-sama, or the 30-ish office worker Hamon-sama. And there's a picture of it on this article. And I never thought that Hamon could be so cute. So it works out for me. Apparently this one reimagines the grave Mobile Suit Gundam Zeta Gundam antagonist Hamon Karn as a modern corporate section chief at the apparel company named Neo Zeon.
I want all the doujinshis for this.
I want this so bad. The other two
at least you didn't go down as far as I did. I want all of the doujinshis.
I'm sure there's already stuff before, but I guess, yeah, to use that particular character design artwork. Yep. The other ones are Kameko Deluxe and Rao Meshi Rambo Rao no Haitoko Gohan, which is Ralph feasts Ramba Ral's immortal meal. Immoral meal. Which I'm guessing is just going to be a food porn with Ramba Ral. Which I don't care much for food porn shows, or food porn stuff. So.
Yeah, but it's Ramba Ral.
It's a gourmet manga showing Zeon ace Ramba Ral tending to the Club Eden's nightclub while the staff are away, and eating freely without anyone bothering him. Sanami Suzuki is supervising the cooking and gourmet portions of the manga, and each chapter will have an afterword by Suzuki commenting on the chapter's featured meal. So yeah, food porn. Yeah,
but it's Ramba Ral.
I guess it's similar to Emiya's family. That show where technically fate is the draw to it, and it just has the food porn in it. That might be the similar case, but we'll see. I like Ramba Ral, but I don't know if they like him that much. But I do want office worker Hamon Karn, though. That definitely like that character sign. Some other really cool news. Season 3 of Thunderbolt Fantasy is set to premiere April 2021. So we have a season at least now. So I'm super excited for that. The Thunderbolt Fantasy is like one of those, I don't know why I love this so much. Oh, that's right. The creator and the music is top notch. Directing's top notch. But it's a puppet show. But I love it. So I don't know if Jinro Bucci's still working on this.
I was wondering the same thing when I was reading through ahead of time earlier. It's like, I wonder if he's still in charge of it. I mean, he is not letting the puppet thing go at all if he's still pushing this story or still writing this.
Yeah, they on this article they specifically mentioned that he is listed as the first season's credited for the first season's original work.
And that could make sense, because the second season didn't seem to have his flair like the first season did. So it wasn't bad. It just wasn't, it didn't have the same.
Had an awesome ending. Ending.
It didn't have, so it's like he probably was over the overall, just like he did with the robot story that we were that I hated the ending of because of that one guy.
And then see with that one, he was credited for the first season, not the second season, if I remember correctly.
No, he was credited for the first three episodes, and then kind of like he was doing the overall direction of the story.
Yeah, and like he creates the concept of it, and they kind of build off of it with him.
Yeah, yeah. And that I wonder if that's kind of the way that they're doing with this, where he gets the overall concept, and then they fill in the gaps.
Yeah, like list him as a script, and he wrote the script, and then he serves as a chief supervisor, so they probably like consult with him on how to handle things. But yeah, I'm curious about that. I'm also curious to see if Sawano Hiroyuki will continue with this season as well, because his music makes all the fights like 10 times more amazing. So yeah, I seem to remember that I was kind of fading. And that was the same thing I had with the first season. The first season I was fading away with the first like half of it, and then it like just picks up. And similarly with the second season, I seem to remember that I had like this kind of like, what are we doing here? And then suddenly out of nowhere, like it just picks up. So, and like I said, the ending was amazing. I love that last fight. It was so cool. Yeah, I'll definitely be checking that out when that comes out. Hopefully Jinrabuchi has a solid grip on it still and can keep it working as great as it has been working. I was asking for this so long ago, and now I don't know if I want it anymore. Crunchyroll has announced that they are partnering with Cygames to release Princess Connect Redive smartphone game worldwide as part of its Crunchyroll Games brand. They have no release date yet, but I know they've already done some kind of soft releases. It's available for pre-order now on Amazon or on Apple. But yeah, it's like I wanted it so bad. Now I'm like, I don't know if I have time for it, so I don't want it to come out. you have to like keep up with the stuff to get all the good stuff, and so I don't have the time for it. But
that is the biggest frustration. And that's just like we were talking about with Genshin Impact. I would love to sink a ton of time into it, but I don't have it. I would end up letting something else go, and I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it, and the chances of, as much as I would love to play Princess Connect, there's no way. I'm barely sticking with Genshin Crossing Void right now. I do it almost as it's already gone to obligation status right now, and
the Christmas event's terrible. All those missions, no, the Christmas, dude.
It's not. I had to write everybody out.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that I knew exactly who. Yeah, I basically made a miniature spreadsheet and wrote out everybody and who's going to what section. Luckily, I had enough to kind of kick up a couple of other characters into, you know, six star status, but none of their skills are leveled up. So, I'm just barely passing a lot of those quests, especially when I move around the impression weapons from character to character. So,
yeah, that was my frustration. Some of them that had. If you have all the characters, you technically had to do like one of the maps 200 times because you couldn't fit every. It was seven total characters that had to do this one map 100 times, and you could only have six in your party.
Yeah, that one is flower cabin and snow cabin, or
yeah,
one of them. Yeah, it's irritating as all snot.
All snot.
But it's not as bad as. It initially looked. The only thing that I don't know how I'm going to do is the dispatch. Dispatch irritates the crap out of me.
Oh yeah, you have to get one that has like everybody can join it. Otherwise, it's like impossible to find it. See, my other frustration is I do love a lot of the main characters in Princess Connect Redive, and I don't know if the writing is good as the anime was. I know that the Konosuba director worked on the anime, so I'm not sure if it has as good of writing in the game. But the other frustration is that I know that the moment that the ReZero collab hits, I'm going to want to play it anyways, so I don't know if I should start it now. Oh, that's so frustrating. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know how long this game will last. And that's the other frustration is I don't see Princess Connector. If Magia Record didn't last, Princess Connect Redive is not going to last. I just don't. I mean, I guess technically the Danmachi game's still going, isn't it? Or do you know?
I have no idea.
I mean, I haven't been keeping up on it, so I don't specifically know, but yeah, I don't know. If Aniplex America was okay with cutting off Magia, I don't doubt Princess Connect will get cut too eventually. I just don't see it having it. If Magia Record didn't have enough of fandom to keep it going, Princess Connect's not going to. I don't even know why Danmachi's still going, honestly. I guess they do technically have a lot of characters in that show that have a lot of staying power, but yeah. And that's the only other thing that keeps me from doing it. Like, I'm fine with investing in things like Fate Grand Order. Even that one is a question mark now, but and Genshin lasting games. It's very difficult to invest in games that you don't see being lasting games.
That's the second time you've mentioned Fate Grand Order. Are you going to tell me that Fate Grand Order has reached obligation status for you?
Oh yeah, I talked about that last episode. I literally just log in and get my daily stuff, and I'm too much of my time's into Genshin, and I don't. Well, I think I mentioned that to you as well. Is like I'm looking at the list of characters in the future, and it's like there's only like three characters that have been released in Japan that I even care about getting at this point. It's the Tama character, which is I forget what it is, the bird girl.
I don't want you to remind me that character is coming. Okay, stop.
Literally right around the corner too. Like I think she's the New Year's one.
The less I have to think about that, the better. I have Klee.
Well, that's the other thing is like I don't really see myself ever putting money into Fate Grand Order again. Like I don't see myself spending on it anymore. Especially like even though I have my frustrations with the drop rates in Genshin, at least there is a guarantee that within 180 pulls you will get a character banner character. Because I never get it in the first 90. I will get it in the second 90. But you at least get a guarantee. With Fate Grand Order, you literally have zero guarantee.
Did I tell you I almost have a complete constellation razor? I still have not gotten the Fire Girl. It makes me mad.
Jiang Ling?
The guitar
Fire Girl. Oh, the new one. Was it Zhang Ling? I forget her name. Zhang Ying?
That sounds right.
I've been raising her and I don't even know what her freaking name is. She's so new. I'm sorry. Yeah, I picked her up. I'm billing her up because I don't have Diluc. And I really do want kind of like a similar thing of Diluc, so.
Yeah, I just wanted a full team of the
Did you check out Claymore. Did you check out her English character or her English voice acting trailer?
No. I don't want to know.
She sounds like a country singer, and she's like, "Hey guys, we're gonna go out here and do some rock." And I'm like, "What the?" She sounds like a country girl. Why is she singing rock? Oh my gosh, I was like, no offense to the actresses. I mean, it's just, like I said, usually it comes down to directing, and
she probably has a dialect to her. And for whatever reason, they seem to think Kansai dialect means country bumpkin.
Yeah, and so it has to be Texas.
Yeah, so Texas. Hard rock, obviously.
So Texas. Oh my gosh. What was the other one that blew me away? That was another one that was like, holy crap. A lot of people joke about the fact that for some reason Chi-Chi's English voice actor in Genshin Impact, she moans a lot, which is kind of odd to have, like, the thing that makes you question the whole, you know, underage girl thing is the dubbers, when the original one doesn't have that aspect to it.
I will say this. When we were playing the other night and you were on Chi-Chi, and I was sitting there just playing, and it's like, I really, really want Chi-Chi right now because she has got that Kudere voicing, And and that's a character that character type that I really like. I already liked her when I first met her, and I could tell that she was going to be a character that I liked. But yeah, hearing her play and her voice actress just sells that type of character, and it was like, oh, I hate that's all right. I don't have
playing
her
along
yet.
With you. Yeah, that's all right. Playing along with you makes me want to raise Diana more because she's just so freaking cute. Like, we're sitting there fighting something, and I'm just hearing, like, this neon and stuff, and I'm like, gosh, she's so cute. I want to raise her, finish raising her. I still gotta finish her talent. I gave her a rust, even though I know that's not good, because she should be more focused on support and healing, but everything can kill, so why not build everything attack, but yeah.
Yeah, I think she's supposed cute. To be... Yeah, I think she's supposed to have a stringless. No, she's got to have a Favonus. Favonus Warbow.
Oh, Favonius. Yeah, I mean, technically, to build her properly, I think she would be more focused on probably energy recharge and on her weapon, and then I think it was HP she's built off of for healing. But I think with most things like that, it's like you could technically probably just build on attack and have that extra boost of damage while just letting... Or is her shields based off of HP too? That would be the question, because I'd want to probably build her stats on her shield. But yeah. That's the pain of some of the characters you just wanted to be just main attackers. Like... Yeah, technically Fischl, most people say you don't build Fischl to be a main attacker, you build her for support, but it's like... Well, screw that. She's a machine gun that kills everything. I want to build her attack. Yeah. At least until I finish building up Child and finish my artifacts on. It's like getting fire attack artifacts on from that dungeon sucks. I always get resistant stuff. It's a pain. Anyways, the news. We keep getting sidetracked because we haven't talked in like so long. We're never going to get through all this news. See if I'm going to butcher this name. Kyoku Shinkashita Full Dive RPG ga Genjutsu Yorimo Kusogi Datara gets anime adaptation to premiere in April. The English title is What if the ultimate in fully immersive VR RPGs was a crappier game than reality itself. And apparently this is from the creator, the author of Cautious Hero. So for those that are a fan of that one, another reason to kind of be excited for this getting an adaptation. I had my issues with Cautious Hero. Well, no, Cautious Hero is great. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of a different one.
Well, you were thinking of it.
The sumo one. I was thinking of the sumo one that was based off the Konosuba person. Because that was on the same season. And for some reason, now it's kind of blurring in my head. No, Cautious Hero is fantastic, so... That's super exciting. I've actually not looked into this at all, but... Stories follows a dull high school student named Hiro Yuki. A double pun on hero and heroism in Japanese. Yeah, that's fine. When he is tricked into joining a full dive, fully immersive VR role-playing game. The game, Kiwami Quest, literally meaning Ultimate Quest, is promoted as more real than reality, with mind-blowing graphics, immersive NPC behavior, and even the scent of foliage and the sensation of wind blowing against your skin. Unfortunately, the game is already a virtual ghost town after being flooded with player complaints that the game's a little too realistic for its own good. Its quests are nearly impossible to clear since players have to be as physically fit to complete them as they would in real life. Players feel actual pain when they get hit, and puncture wounds takes days to heal. The only reward is a mere sense of accomplishment. It is to complete the opposite of the casual pick-up-and-play game, but Hiro vows to beat the most realistic and most stressful game ever. That sounds great. So you excited for that? Cautious Hero?
Yeah. And stuff? Actually, it actually does sound really kind of funny.
Yeah. We always joke about the idea that some slice of life are terrible because they're too they're too real, and thus real reality is actually technically boring. So I was kind of getting that vibe, I was getting into it, but it kind of makes more sense reading the synopsis that it's, you know, things that we want in our games, but we don't realize we don't really want in our games. So yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see, a new season of Code Geass series announced for the franchise during the livestream event, Code Geass Z of the Recapture. They also announced a new smartphone game called Code Geass Genesis Recode. I have not been... I have sadly not been keeping track of Code Geass stuff since the second season, so... I know they've done like a movie.
I don't know, it seems like... It seems like a couple of seasons ago they were mentioning something. It might be this that they were talking about.
Yeah.
Because it did definitely seem like it was completely out of left field that we were talking about Code Geass again. It was like, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, it was about the same time that Funimation did a re-release of the Blu-ray set that they kind of started announcing like new movies and stuff like that. And I never did get back to watching those. Of course, they were movies at the time and... We never got movies, so that's I technically have a reason why not, but I do need to eventually get back into that stuff because I really did enjoy the original series. But cool stuff there. Game Awards happens. Final Fantasy Remake won Best RPG and Best Score and Music, and that's about all that happened in that Game Awards, so that's all we need to cover there. Oh, yeah, and Sephiroth got announced for Smash. I guess that was the other cool announcement at the Game Awards.
Oh, really?
So, that's cool.
What?
Another reason to make me want to go buy Smash, even though I don't care for that game at all. It's like, it sucks because Smash Bros., this Ultimate version on Switch, has gotten so many characters added to it. It's like, it's hard to ignore anymore. But at the same time, I just don't really have any desire to play it. Ugh. Why can't games that I enjoy a lot get like that much coverage of characters? And it's like, there's a lot of people kind of speculating that it's like, this is something that'll never happen ever again. Like, this guy got so many characters from so many franchises to come to that game, and like, he's the only person that could pull that off. It's like an impossibility that you would see that happen with any other game. Especially a game that doesn't have a gacha system, I guess. Let me preface it. A game that doesn't have a gacha system in it. That's crazy. But no, I'm definitely excited that Final Fantasy VII Remake got an acknowledgement. I'm sad that Ghost of Tsushima didn't get an acknowledgement, but I'm glad that Final Fantasy VII Remake got acknowledgement. And it sucks that Among Us won over Genshin Impact because... Nobody plays Among Us mobile. Like, the only reason Among Us won Best Mobile Game is because it's Among Us, and people wanted to acknowledge it this year. Even though it came out 2 years ago, the mobile version released this year. Nobody's playing the mobile version. So it kind of sucks that Genshin Impact got snuffed there.
It's practically a meme, and that's it just went viral. Is all it is. It's no different than, I mean, from what I gather, because I haven't played it, to be fair, okay? It looks like a different version of the Mafia game, the werewolf game. It's like, that's all it seems like to me. I don't...
Who's the mole?
Yeah, who's the mole? And everybody's... Of course it's going to get exciting because the fandom gets toxic and then everybody's going to dump it, just like everybody
got rid
of Salem.
It's like Fall Guys was huge for like a month and then it died away because Among Us got popular, and now I barely see people play Among Us that I watch on stream. Yeah.
So it's like, why give it, if it's just a viral game, why give it the game of the year or whatever?
That's the funny thing. It's like, why was Among Us successful? It's because a bunch of people watched popular streamers play it. It's not that they're playing it. It's just these popular streamers were playing it and people enjoyed watching those popular streamers play it. That's not a great game. Like how many people actually played Among Us and enjoyed it and are still enjoying it at this point? It was never successful when it released 2 years ago. It's only successful now because popular streamers played it. And people enjoyed watching those popular streamers play it. And now they're no longer playing it, so why would you give it an award? It's not going to have any staying power whatsoever. I mean, it's a cool concept in the game, and even though it couldn't stand these popular streamers playing it for a while because the servers weren't even ready for it to be even popular. I am very I congratulate the company, the three people that made it, because suddenly out of nowhere they've paid off their debts and then some at this point. But
even Town of Salem, which is basically, like I was saying, the werewolf, the witch hunts and all that stuff, it's all the same game. It's just a different version of the same game. Even that one was fun. The problem is once the toxicity starts to seep in, it stops being fun.
And that's what I was running into when I was watching people play it, even later into it. It's like, you either have somebody that just gets way too serious into it and gets just really toxic about it. Like, why the f*** did you guys vote this person out? You're all idiots. And its funness just depletes really quickly. Like, it's just one of those ones that you just cannot have that kind of toxicity in the conversation.
Yeah, and then there's the trolls who sit there and just do stuff just to cause the entire chat to go stupid. And then there's there's just so many things that can go wrong in those things. It's annoying.
Yeah. We need to do our best of games sometime soon too, of this year. Cause we actually played a lot of games this year. At least I did anyways. Actually played games this year. Not too many, but
I paid a couple.
Yeah. Like 4 or 5 at least big console games. So
I really need to hurry up and finish that game.
Trials of Mana? I keep forgetting the name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really quickly, we have licenses. Seven Seas has a license. Lupin, Greatest Heist Manga. Seaside Stranger, Great Pretender, The Invincible Shovel Manga, Mars Red, Chronicles of Aristocrat Reborn Another World, My Wife Has No Emotions, Trapped in a Dating Sim World of Atome Games Is Tough for Mob Manga, The Dangers in My Heart, Bloom Into You Anthology, Pompo the Cinephile, Kakeki Shoujo, The Haunted Bookstore Light Novel, Reborn as a Space Mercenary, I Woke Up Pilot in the Strongest Starship Light Novel, Reincarnated as a Dragon Hatchling Light Novel, Accomplishments of Duke's Daughter Light Novel, Monster Mizume, Monster Girls on the Job Light Novel, The Strange Adventure of Broke Mercenary Light Novel, Hello World Novel and Manga, Ghost Ship Got Call Girl Another World Manga, Booty Royale Never Go Down Without a Fight Manga, Devilish Darlings Portal Fantasy Manga, Manga Diary of a Male Porn Star Manga, Kondansha Got Harem Marriage, A Couple of Cuckoos, Will It Be the World or Her, My Unique Skill Makes Me OP Even at Level 1, My Dearest Self with Malice Aforethought, Boss Wife, A Girl and Her Guard Dog, and How Do You Do Koharu. What a stuff.
The Wife with No Emotions sounds interesting. That one seems to be about a dude who buys a robot to do his house chores and then makes a joke about marrying her, and she takes him serious, and so they start effectively dating. And it mentions, but can a human and a robot ever have an equal loving relationship? So that'd be interesting to see if it actually kind of delves into the concept of relationship with robots. So that'll be that might be an interesting one, unless they just turn it into a comedy and be done with it, which that can happen too.
Yeah, the Harem Marriage was the one that I was talking about earlier, being like the polygamous podcast episode. The man mm-hmm. Koharu loves, or the man Koharu loved wasn't cheating on her. He was cheating on his wife with her. And not only that, he was the third guy to do that so in a row. Dejected, she leaves Tokyo for her hometown and rejects a future of love and marriage for a simpler life. But things have changed. Her parents are struggling. The cafe they ran was closed. And a creepy man keeps following her around. She thinks this may be the end, may be it for her, until she learns that her hometown has allowed polygamous marriages, and she's in that man's sight as a third wife.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of Kaku look pretty funny. 16-year-old super studier Nagi Umino, second year student at an academy high school, was switched at birth. On his way to a dinner to meet his birth parents, he accidentally meets a brash, outspoken Erika Amano, who is determined to make Nagi her fake boyfriend as she never wants to actually marry. But once Nagi makes it to dinner, he finds his parents have decided to resolve the hospital switch by conveniently having him marry the daughter his birth parents raised, who turns out to be none other than Erika herself. She looks like the girl from Smile on the Runway.
You know the ones cuckoos? Yeah.
Yeah, the cuckoos. Couple of cuckoos.
And then the world will it be the world or her? That seems kind of interesting. If he chooses to confess his feelings, the world ends or something like that. So
so wrong.
It is messed up.
You're gonna lose either way. That's a no-win situation. That's it for the news. We've been running long, but I definitely want to get some questions in here. But we go to talkspear.com. There's a form link at the top there. You can go there and ask your questions in our Anime Quest question thread. Send it to us through the Contact Us button at talkspear.com. Email it to Andrew at talkspear.com. All those many ways you guys can get a hold of us. Like Jared Scott said, are there any instances where you have you preferred anime adaptation of a series over the source material? Attack on Titan. I recently found myself in this boat with One Piece, since the newer anime episodes tends to look cleaner than the manga, so it's easier to follow.
Dude's been drawing that thing for 20 odd years. I'm thinking he's probably a little bit tired of drawing it.
Well, I mean, that's like I said, Attack on Titan, definitely, 100% for sure. They've cleaned out so much fat out of that show. Again, Wit Studio did a fantastic job directing that and trimming that fat and putting stuff in places they weren't before, which made the story make a lot more sense. Like, they moved an entire backstory segment of one character up so that it made more sense to the storytelling itself. Which I think is one of those things where probably the mangaka seen afterwards and said, yeah, you should move this up because I didn't put it there originally and I think it looks better there. One Punch Man, because One's artwork wasn't so great, especially early on. There was another mangaka that was good at telling stories but wasn't the best artist early on. I forget who it was. The guy that does the Knights of Sidonia, he's great. Apparently his background was architecture, so he makes amazing architecture, but his character designs weren't all the greatest, especially early on, and it seems like he's gotten better, but I do prefer the anime adaptation of Knights of Sidonia over the manga, even though I've read the entire manga, especially after I didn't think they would have the ending animated or adapted. And I think that Polygon Pictures did a fantastic job, especially with like the mecha fights and everything like that. Just worked really great in a CGI rendering anyways. So, but the combat sequences and stuff are phenomenal in the anime adaptation. That's the only one I could think of. I mean, reversely, a lot of the situations that I run into is, of course, the fact that the source material seems to do a lot better. And I think that's mostly because of inner dialogue and stuff. Like, I've already noticed that with Spice and Wolf and stuff. So, even though I want it fully adapted, I'll acknowledge it, that the source material technically seems to have a lot more to add to the characters.
I don't know. I tend to appreciate it both for different reasons. So, yeah, Attack on Titan would be kind of an easy one to express, but I think that I expressed that when we first talked about it, but it wasn't so much for that. It was more along the lines of it was a lot better to see things in motion.
Yeah.
Mostly because it, even though the manga did really well at expressing those scenes, seeing them in motion just kind of captures the essence of the moments a lot better. So yeah,
that only happened because Wit Studio did it. I could totally see some other studio having handled Attack on Titan and just not doing what they did with it. I mean, the first times we seen the PVs for Attack on Titan when it was first coming out, it was jaw-dropping. It was like, holy crap, what are they doing here? They did a phenomenal job of really selling that air gear, I forget the name of them, the combat gear they use, and flying through the city like Spider-Man. It was like, holy crap, this is like Spider-Man animated, and it looks phenomenal. So it's probably mostly with them.
There is an essence of sometimes because I usually tend to like, I actually tend to like, original, source materials most of the time. Because there's a difference between, what's the term? The way your imagination kind of fills in the blanks and then when you actually see the completed product, it's never quite the way you want it to be.
Yeah, you've expressed this a lot when you were talking about certain books getting movies and stuff.
Right.
Like Harry Potter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I definitely see that, because I've admittedly, I've not read a lot of books. I'm not a book person. I get bored quickly. I get tired quickly reading. And I'm trying to get more into it, like getting into the Spice Wolf series and stuff like that. But in the few books that I've actually read all the way through that I've actually gotten, like some kind of film, screen or something like that. Yeah. Like, for example, the Holes. I think that was the book. The movie was terrible in comparison. And again, I think that was more because I was imagining like these fields and stuff being different in my mind when I was reading the book. And then when I seen the movie and I'm like, This wasn't what I was imagining from what the story was telling me. And I think that is a lot to do with the fact that you're having to fill in those blanks and stuff that the story doesn't specifically describe. And I think that's probably more so of a case with something like a light novel, because light novels aren't very descriptive heavy. And that's why I think I enjoy light novels, is they don't have to explain what's every detail that's in a room. They kind of just say, this is a room and here's the big objects. They walked into it.
Yeah. And that, and the funny thing is that's like with the Slave Heron. I do. One of the things is the translation for that story hasn't been kind of the best. So it'll be interesting to see if, how that works when it comes out in its completed form. See, because of the fact that it's like Monogatari. That one, I would venture a guess that the anime adaptation to me seems probably a little bit better from just what I've quote unquote read. I do audiobook. I did the audiobook for that. So, and that one, I kind of mixed on how that one turned out. So I would venture to say I probably lean towards the anime adaptation over the original source material on that.
Yeah, I want to agree with you there. And I'm in the same boat where I've only actually technically listened to the Keys of Monogatari, and I've gotten the other ones, but I haven't gotten a chance to get around to reading them. But I do know that the reason why he is so popular in Japan is because he does so much wordplay. And that doesn't translate at all in literal sense. And I think with the anime adaptation, they they put that on the screen as visuals, and they mess with this what's happening around them with visual cues of that wordplay. So I do want to say, and this is again not based on experience reading the actual anything besides Kizu, I want to say that I've seen people already kind of confirm that that is a case where they're kind of different in that regard. The English translation of the novels and the actual show.
And the only way to fix that problem would be to learn how to read kanji and
pretty much
all that stuff. And that ain't happening with me. Sorry. I do good enough to learn kana. That's about as far as I've gone.
Not only learn it to read it, but also learn to read it in its manipulation that he's doing.
Yeah.
And the wordplay that he uses, which is probably extremely confusing in my mind.
Yeah, well, and kanji is one of those things that it's almost an art form in itself. It's mm-hmm. kind of like, because kanji is literally, it's not like kana where it's just letters. Kanji is actual kind of basically little photographs or little drawings, and you play with the different strokes to make it into different words altogether. Uh-huh. And it's yeah.
Yeah. Jared so Scott
you're,
says
you're at level college doctorate to be able to read the kind of stuff that he's probably doing.
Jared Scott also says, similar question for anime movies. Are there movies in anime that you prefer over the show or manga? I also found myself in this boat with Dragon Ball Z, but that's likely due to the movies having a faster pace to that than the anime. I don't think I have an example of that. And I think most of my examples are backwards.
You liked, I think you said you liked,
Madoka Magica.
Madoka Magica.
Yeah. That would be my one example.
I'm about middle of the road on that, mostly because I think that it does trim the fat a bit. So I can kind of lean towards that. But as outside of that, was there one of the newer Gundam? What's the new one called? The one that they're redoing the entire series from Char's perspective or something like that?
Oh, Origins, they haven't done the actual original series in that, and I don't know if they will. It was mostly just his backstory up until the point that the show starts, or the original show starts. But if they ever did, I think it'd be phenomenal. Because I mean that was a problem with those old series; they just drag on, and most of the episodes feel like they don't even need to be there. The pacing is very slow, I guess. And that would probably fix a lot of that pacing is having it redone as with their new writing, or not really new writing, but having the, I guess, a similar style to it with the faster pace. And more content to the actual story. Rather than just, we ran into another squad, deploy the Gundams. We ran into another squad, deploy the Gundams. No, I didn't watch the movies of the new Dragon Ball. I'm not sure if you're talking about the super movie Frieza and the Battle of the Gods or whatever. I just watched them on this series, so I'm not sure if the pacing's different between those two.
I don't know that I would. I kind of like the fat. I hate to say it.
I like the fat when I really like something. And the fat's good. But not when it's just too slow or nothing there. Like, there's only so many times I can watch Mr. Satan try to cover the fact that he's not the hero. Or Saint Seiya Man. I can't stand any more Seiya Man. I'm sorry. Let's see. Jared Scott also says, by the way, a while back, y'all's unboxing vids, one of you mentioned that you kept getting manga with misaligned artwork on the spines, or that the publisher icon on the spine was different volume to volume because of reprints. Since you've pointed that out, I flinch every time I look at my set of Case Closed and Rurouni Kenshin manga. Thanks for that. Yeah, you're welcome. I hate it. I despise it. And welcome to my pain.
Like It's one of those...
I'm looking up right now. I can see my Noragami special has like 1/8 or 1/16 inch higher. The numbers are about 1/16 inch higher, and it bothers me.
That's one of those things that I kind of appreciate the fact that I'm not that OCD, because I could only imagine how much that would drive me up the wall.
Like I was actually really happy that I bought the Berserk manga when I did, because I heard that they had changed at some point what they were doing on the spines, and the reprint fixed that. And so when I bought it, they were all pretty much aligned, and that's like, I knew that would drive me crazy, because that's 40 volumes of possibility of something being off would be devastating. I hate that stuff. And that's like when I think about, like, you know, even with, like, in regard to anime Blu-rays and stuff, that's an issue there as well. Is it's like, if they ever release, well, they did release the, you know, Sound of Phonium season 2, it's not going to be in the boxes that you bought from Ponycan. And when they release the, you know, season 2 of Yuki as a Hero, it's not going to be the box of Ponycan. So it's like, even when they change companies, it's also a frustrating issue as well, because these companies won't do collector editions like they did, or whatever. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Or if I have a season 1 that's DVD only because it was so long ago, and season 2 was Blu-ray released. So you have a DVD case sitting next to a Blu-ray case. Drives me crazy. I can't stand it. I'm glad that doesn't bother you, Chris. I'm very glad. I'm so happy for you.
One of the downsides to not having an OCD type.
I'm a collection OCDist. Yes, exactly. Thanks, Jared Scott, for the questions. Nav Australia sent in a question. Says, hi, Andrew and Chris. I wasn't able to find the mailbox option on the website. Maybe I'm using it through the phone. Oh, yeah, I think you have to hit the navigation button at the top for the menu. And I think it should be in there, the contact us button. But yeah, it's a little differently placed. I've been listening for a couple years, maybe longer. Thanks for listening for so long. Love the show and positivity you guys bring to anime community. It also changed my way of thinking, too. I'm glad we're able to change your way of thinking. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. We have the power, Chris, to change how they think. I also don't waste
I prefer you think of your own way, so
I also don't waste my time dragging down something. Instead, try to focus on more of my energy on something I like. I think that's a really positive thing. And I don't think it's so much us changing the way you think, but more so, I guess, providing an alternative option of way you can view things. And I think that's a good thing. I'm glad that you focus on the positivity more, because I think focusing on the positivity is better for you as a person, because it doesn't drag you down into something negative, and it doesn't fill your life with focusing on negative things. Rather, focus on the positive things in life. I think it's a lot better. And I think for a while, it's kind of similar. It's still a thing, and it's definitely getting worse in other areas, but I think anime, and especially with our community, I think people have gotten a lot more positive. And I think that's a good thing, just so that we can kind of not get stuck in that pit that is unfortunately taking over a lot of things in this world that I try to stay away from, because I don't want to be stuck in that negativity, honestly.
Yeah, it is. This is one of the things that we were kind of trying to focus on, is the fact that this is supposed to be the escape from the outside world. And stop bringing the outside world into this, because if you do that, then there's no escape. It was one of those things where we could see the writing on the wall. We were hoping that we could at least shift the fandom away, not necessarily say you can't acknowledge that, because it's there. You can't get away from it. But if we can focus on the positivity, then that negativity, when it comes into our fandom, it won't really find much of a place here.
And that was, it was sad because it were, when I got back into anime, I think part, and I don't remember exactly, but I want to say that part of the reason why I kind of jumped back into anime is because I was getting sick of what was happening in the gaming sphere at the time that I was playing games, and it was getting very political and people were getting super negative and there was bickering back and forth and there was fighting on both sides, left and right, up and down. And I was like, I'm sick of this. I'm going to go back to anime where I know that that's not a thing there. And of course, at the time, that was kind of slowly seeping in there. And like I said, I don't think that it's really technically gotten there. Besides technically, yes, you're going to have a lot of companies that are putting their money into anime making that will get it in there. But I think for the most part, Japan doesn't care. And they want to focus on just having fun and doing stupid things. And that's always been my escape, was getting into that, this is stupid, I love it. And that's what I want to get into, and that's what I want to focus on. And yeah, they're going to suck at some things. There's going to be a terrible story here and there. There's going to be a character getting killed that you don't want to get killed. There's going to be a story that you just don't like. But that's that point in which you pivot and just go to something that you enjoy, rather than just kind of getting stuck in that negative feel that some people like to get kind of stuck into. There's people that love being negative, and that's fine, but I just don't find that fun. I find it more fun to focus on the positive and have fun with that, rather than let's make fun of this again.
I almost hate to say it this way, but it's almost cathartic for some people, and it's
a release. Yeah,
it's like I don't know. I can only assume it's like kicking the donkey while it's down. It's like, yeah, okay. You're beating up on the poor donkey. You've already beat it. How much more do you want to do it? And that's,
can you take a break so I can watch it real quick?
Yeah.
The ex-girlfriend argument. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's the ex-girlfriend.
Don't kick my ex-girlfriend, the donkey, damn it.
What did she ever do to you? I mean, obviously she cheated on you, but I mean, come on.
Stop kicking her. Yeah. Nav Australia also said, anyways, I just watched Konosuba Movie 2019. I haven't laughed. So, I haven't watched that yet. I want to watch it. I haven't laughed so hard in a while from an anime. Comedy and anime is pretty hard to master. Can you please make an episode of your top 5 comedy anime? Also, can you talk about the Konosuba Movie as a whole? There are so many funny moments. What is your favorite? Thank you so much for your hard work. Love from Melbourne, Australia. We love our Australian listeners. Always like
upside down, folks.
Yeah, they have weird toilets, but everybody we meet from Australia are always awesome. So it's like, I want to move to Australia at some point because it seems like they're always awesome.
Peace. Need to get some upside down backwards toilets in America.
I think it's because the toilets go backwards that it makes them happy. Maybe make our toilets go backwards and we'll be happy.
Well, it's either that or the fact that they live around all those
toilets go backwards.
It's either that or because they live around all those deadly spiders and they appreciate ants and stuff life like more. That. So they appreciate life. Yeah,
they appreciate life more.
And the dingoes, you know. The
dingoes. The dingoes took my baby. That's an old joke, inside joke. We used to do a gaming podcast, and there was the other guy on the podcast was Australian, and his big joke that he always say was, he's a dingoes took my baby. So it's a joke from an Australian person, so it's okay. Oh, the dingoes took my baby. He was a hoot. There was another question. The comedy. We have done a comedy podcast. We did a comedy podcast, didn't we?
I don't remember. It, very possible. But that one could be maybe a pocket episode where we can just do five comedy anime each and just say, hey, I love this one and I love this one, and you can do five and toss it up there for a quickie. But other than that, I mean,
So if you need something
the problem with...
Yeah, episode 442 was our anime podcast episode, which we basically talked about the concept of comedy and anime, and we kind of addressed the fact that you're kind of pointing out it's where it's hard to do good comedy, where it's very subjective, and also that a lot of anime comedy, a lot of Japanese comedy is based on wordplay and word games and puns. And a lot of that stuff doesn't translate well. And that's it's one of the reasons why we like subtitles so much, is because when they do subtitles correctly, you can actually hear and notice that. So
yeah, there's also the, I mean, they do a lot of slapstick, which is probably the, I mean, cause it, like when we were talking about, the parodies are another thing that they do a lot. But you have to have enough knowledge in whatever they're doing the parody on.
It's like Hoseki no Raitetsu. I mean, you have to know a lot of folklore about that, a lot of their folk tales in order to know what the hell that's going on with that particular series. Right. And that was the reason why that one didn't work for me. It's like, I don't know enough of these that I can really know why this is funny.
I almost want to go back and watch that again, just to see if now that we've been effectively seeped in the, because we watched that at the very, very beginning of the podcast where we had knowledge of it, but not enough that we would now, where we've had what, 7-8 years of being,
that we've watched enough of these, the Natsumi's Book of Friends ish types of shows that have like random spirits showing up.
Yeah.
I guess that would technically be true. I don't know. Or at least probably like watch it episodically and really look into what each of the ones are. That would probably be a better move, but no, you have that podcast there if you want to check that out. We might do an updated one version of it. But yeah, the Konosuba movie we have not watched yet. I do really want to watch it. I love Konosuba. So I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. I want more Konosuba. We haven't watched Konosuba in a while. We need more Konosuba. Last one I'll read real quickly here because I know that we're not going to really need to talk much about it. Jody wrote in, said, just started listening to your show a few weeks ago. What are your thoughts on the Sony and buying Crunchyroll? We've talked about that earlier in this episode. Any speculation, hopes of a new developments if Sony owns Crunchyroll and controlling interest in Funimation? Thank you for a great podcast and all the time that money you guys spent over, you put into it over the last decade. Thanks so much for the kind words. Like I said, we talked a little bit about this in the beginning of the episode. I was kind of thinking that this might have a additional question there, so we technically covered all that stuff, so you're good there. I think that's good for now. You good? You good? Yeah. All right. This will be interesting to edit. I didn't really mention it too much, but yes, we are technically like 2,600 miles apart from each other, so we had to do crazy Discord record on each side kind of thing, so I'll have to splice it all together. Similar to what I did with that guy from Australia, we used to have to record with him. Mm-hmm. I had to just splice them all together. But hopefully it turns out correctly. We might sound a little differently because I'm using a preamp rather than going through a soundboard, and hopefully the sound is good. But it's good that we got together. We had fun. A little bit longer than usual because I think we had a lot of stuff to talk about. We haven't been able to tell each other what's been going on lately, so it works as a way for us to get caught up on each other too. But yeah, thanks for getting on here, Chris. I can say that now.
Right?
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the special podcast episode. Hopefully we can keep a decently regular schedule recording. I know we're for sure going to be doing our reviews for the fall season. We'll do our deliberations, hopefully. Have a day of doing that. And looking in the next year. We hope you guys enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Oos!
間の似合う君の